Thank you. Good day, friends. We again have the joy of coming to you as we seek to think through some of the wonderful truths that God has revealed in this book of Matthew to his people. Those of you who have been listening in day after day, I am sure, are following right along with the object of the book, the purpose of the book, where in the first 12 chapters our Lord has revealed himself and proved himself to be the Messiah, the King of Israel, and how they have rejected him. And now, how having rejected him as their Messiah, they reject him also in his person, and they reject him in his person as well as in his purpose. And we were dealing in our last few lessons with the feeding of the 5,000, his power over the material, then his power over the elements, where you have Peter walking on the water, and then the chapter ends with him manifesting power over the physical. Now, when you come to the first 20 verses of chapter 15, we have where our Savior rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees. These are the so-called leaders of the people of Israel. And the question raised has to do with a matter of defilement. Allow me to read it. Chapter 15, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever you mightest be profited by me, and honor not your father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I want you to mark that. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're not genuine in what they have to say. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said to them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Then came his disciple and said, "Don't you know that you offended the Pharisees by your saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Then answered Peter and said to him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Now, this whole purpose he's talking about, this whole passage, has to do with the question of defilement. And notice, this is not from the devil, but it's from within. The tradition of men led these leaders to oppose the word of God. They accepted the word of man instead of the word of God. These men had great zeal for God and for the teachings of man, but their hearts were empty. If you go back to your Old Testament prophets, you remember how often the Lord said, "This people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I don't want their sacrifices. I don't want them." Why? Because it's an empty thing. Ceremonies, these things are all right when they're real. But if it's just a mere ceremony, another religious ceremony, as far as God's concerned, it's an empty thing. And here you have our God, our Lord, rebuking formalism. And the natural heart of man is really uncovered. The purpose of God to his Son is to cleanse the hearts of people. That's why he rebuked these Pharisees and scribes. They were preferring, and I'm repeating this, they were preferring the tradition of men, the teachings of men, in opposition to the teachings of God's Word. And of course, out of the teaching of men comes formalism. And God rebukes their formalism. And then he goes on to speak of how the natural heart of man is uncovered. And his purpose, of course, is to cleanse the heart of man from its sin. May I say it's so true today? People will follow the philosophies of men, the doctrines of men, and fail to obey and to follow the Word of God. In the final issue, is this not the truth today? This is our problem today. Even among so many so-called evangelicals, I use the word so-called evangelicals, the turning away from the written Word of God, and they're bringing in the tradition of men instead of the Word of God. They prefer what man says instead of what God says. And may I say what I said here in one of the preceding lessons? The danger today is that a great many of these ecclesiastical leaders, these false teachers, take precious words of Scripture like justification, resurrection, and eternal life, and salvation, and so on, and they take these words and they give an entirely different meaning to what the Bible says. And the result is they deceive the people of God. They deceive men and women everywhere. That's why today I have personally been accused, why, Mitchell, you believe in the Bible as the Word of God. Of course I do, from Genesis to Revelation. I may not understand every passage in the Word of God. In fact, one may study the Word of God for 100 years, day after day, and still never plumb the depths of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We may learn quite a bit about the Word of God, but there's always something else to be understood. One thing, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we only know in part. My friend, the Word of God, the purpose of God, the program of God is given to us in the Word of God. And there's enough in here, and it's said so simply, as our Lord said, that a man, though a fool, can't err therein. But how easy it is for men, even good men and religious men, to follow the traditions of people, of men, rather than the simple, precious Word of God. You know, my heart bleeds sometimes when I hear men who at one time were, as far as I knew, they believed the Bible. And they come along and tell me that the first 11 chapters of the Bible are not historically correct, that they're just parabolic, and that it's not to be believed. You don't have to believe all these statements in the first 11 chapters of the Bible. Well, now, my friend, let me tell you this. If you repudiate the first 11 chapters of the Bible, how much more are you going to repudiate? Our precious Savior put his word of vindication on the whole of the Pentateuch, from Genesis 1 right on through Deuteronomy, when he said, if you had believed Moses, who was the writer of the Pentateuch, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote concerning me. And if you believe John chapter 3, verse 16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, then you'll have to believe Genesis 3:15. For John 3:16 is the fulfilling of Genesis 3:15. So what does Genesis 3:15 say? When the Lord said, the seed of the woman, when Adam and Eve had sinned. You remember he said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Or Hebrews 2:14-15, our Lord took his place in the human race that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. We see the origin of death, of sin, of Satan, and so on in the first few chapters of your Bible. And the whole seed plot of the Bible are in those 11 chapters. And I tell you, my friend, you can't go wrong in believing the Word of God. the traditions of men are not to be trusted, especially when they're opposed to the Word of God. And our Lord ends up that little statement concerning it when he rebukes these Pharisees and scribes because they were taking the traditions of men instead of the things of God. They were talking about the outward things. You eat with washed hands, unwashed hands. You're not good Jews if you eat with unwashed hands. They had added to the scriptures. Now when you come down, our Lord says, hear and understand what I'm telling you when he said, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of the mouth. Our Lord is talking, he's leading up to the purpose why he came, to make it provision whereby our hearts shall be cleansed from sin, from defilement. And he talks about them being hypocrites, talks about them being blind and leaders of the blind. And if you lead the blind, if you follow the blind, you'll fall in the ditch with them. And he said, don't you understand when Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, what goes in the mouth doesn't defile you. It's what comes out. For verse 18 and 19 and 20, for those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. In other words, I tell you what's in my heart, in my very life, by what I say. For what comes out from the mouth, that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. In other words, what is the Lord talking about? He wants reality. By the way, if I were following through what comes out of the heart of man, I would connect with this Romans chapter 1, the last two or three verses. Because they refuse to have God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the inconvenient things. And he talks about 23 of the ugly brood. You come to Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he gives you 17 or 19 of these ugly broods. These are the sins that defile a man. These are the things against which the judgment of God comes, according to Ephesians chapter 5. Out of the heart of man, out of the heart of man. What makes a liar? You say he lies. No, no, no. His lying is only an evidence that he's a liar. All the sins of the human race are in the heart of man. They may not all be manifested through you or me, but they're all in there, out of the heart of man. Where Christ has not cleansed the heart, anything can take place. Don't you be alarmed, my friend, or amazed, that's a better word. Don't be amazed at what is happening in our generation today. Because I tell you, when Christ has been pushed to one side, and the Word of God has been looked upon as not being reliable, and as they say today, it's not relative to our present generation, then what is left? If the heart is not cleansed by the blood of Christ, if we're not purged, if our consciences are not purged from sin, what's left but sin and corruption? It's in the heart of man. And under certain circumstances, man will do this very thing. I'm not talking about something that's new. It's as old as the hills. In fact, it's because men, psychologists and others, know something of this fact. And out of the heart of man, right down the very heart of man. Now, oftentimes they blame your father or your grandfather or your great-grandfather. No, my friend, you go far enough back, you go right back to Adam. Don't blame your grandfather for this. Go right back to Adam. Sin, rebellion, lawlessness, spurning the Word of God, accepting the teachings of men instead of the teachings of God. Out of the heart of man proceed these things. And until the heart is changed, until the heart is cleansed, this is why Christ came, my friend. He came to make it possible that you might be cleansed from sin, from corruption. You mark these words of our Savior. And again, I say what our Savior said when these leaders of Israel were saying, your disciples eat with unwashed hands. They're concerned about the outward things. question of defilement. No, my friend, defilement comes from the inside, right down in your vitals. What makes you do the things you do, my friend? What makes a man go out and, before he knows what he's doing, he's lying, or he's cheating, or he's slaying somebody's character, or he's stealing, or he's doing something? What makes him do it? It's already in his heart. Under circumstances, certain circumstances, under certain pressures, man will do these things. It's already in his heart. That's why moral reform doesn't do the job. That's why being religious doesn't do the job. That's what trying to be good doesn't do the job. I'm not against you trying to do it, my friend, but I'll tell you one thing. You'll never, never have the power over these things until you have Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And as 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. He wants you to know that he's made provision to cleanse you from all sin. That's why he came. Allow me to give a verse that I've given you so often, but I want to get right on your heart. Why did our Lord come? 1 John 3:5 says, he was manifested to take away our sin. In Hebrews 9:26 it says, he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin. That's why John the Baptist introduced our Savior. And I quote John 1:29 when he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know that he was manifested to take away our sin, when he had by himself purged our sins. This man, by one sacrifice for sins forever. He gave himself for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Oh, one could go on. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My friend, listen. How in the world are you going to be delivered from the sins in your life? There is only one. Now, you're going to argue with me, well, I didn't ask to be born with this kind of a heart. I didn't ask to be born with a sin nature. Well, let's face the facts. You are born with a sinful nature. You take after your parents, right down through to Adam. Sin came into the human race and ruined the whole picture. The last Adam came, Christ Jesus. What for? To redeem you from that old, to make you an entirely new man, new woman in Christ. And I just plead with you to accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for your sins, who was buried and was raised again, and now is seated at God's right hand. After he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So you come to him. Again, I say, Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And the Lord wonderfully bless you today, and may you do it for his own name's sake.